We're here together, my friend Paul. And Paul, we have one of our favorites. I know he's a favorite of yours.
An esteemed public servant.
Senator Len DiCiusio. And Len, Paul Pacelli is with me now. And together we will be chatting with you. I know that you have chatted with him by himself, and you've chatted with me by myself. But do you think you can handle the both of us?
Well, I don't know. I know that you've always been a formidable challenge, but adding Paul, you're going to tag team on the ISU.
Yeah, huh? We're going to come off the top rope, Len. It's going to be like a steel cage match here. Yeah. Len, how are you, Len? How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I've been meeting a lot of constituents lately and getting into some of the issues even more. Brad and I had a great discussion a week or two ago about that notorious early release program. And mm-hmm. I know today we're going to, I guess, be talking about Connecticut's financial condition in this report that came out from George Mason University.
Unbelievable.
Ranking us next to last in the country. Boy.
I can't believe. And it's hard to believe. Ranked 49th in the nation, as state revenues cover just 92% of expenses. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when you stop to think of these things, 230% of total assets, $17,418 per capita. I mean, give me a break.
Yes, and, you know, it's important that this be brought up because the people of Connecticut have got to understand how desperate the state's financial condition is. The only state that is more desperate than us is Illinois itself, according to the George Mason study. But when you look at how they break it down, there's like a half a dozen different measurements of the financial health or well-being of the state government. And one of them, cash solvency, which measures the ability of a state to meet its short-term obligations, its bills and accounts payable and vouchers and things like that, we're ranked dead last with respect to that. And here's the number that really, really blew my mind. We all know that the unfunded pension liability is very substantial, and we all know that there's been games played with that in terms of what the real number is. What's been done by the state to fool people and to make it look like it's not as bad as it is we've used an artificially inflated, what they call a discount rate. That's the rate that you assume whatever you have invested is going to make to pay for these liabilities. And the state has had this inflated discount rate of over 8%, which is totally unrealistic. George Mason looks at that and basically says, look at your official unfunded liability. This is as of the end of 2016, so it's a little over a year, about a year and a half ago. The official unfunded pension liability was $35.4 billion. But if you do it using a realistic discount rate, I hope you're sitting down, $121.5 billion.
Wow.
I mean, it's not like 10% more. It's like almost, it's 300% more.
We're looking at, I saw, and you see the same estimates I do being in the legislature. I mean, obviously, you know, we're already seeing that whomever wins the governor's race, you know, whether it's Oz Griebel, whether it's Stefanowski, whether it's Ned Lamont, they're going to be looking, Len, 2 years out at yet, where have we heard this before, another situation where we're going to be $2.5 billion in the hole. Well, you can't get rid of any state employees because there's a no layoff clause with CBAC. So what happens then? What happens then?
Right. Well, that's what I've been saying now for the better part of the year. The CBAC deal is unsustainable. It's not worth the paper it's printed on. It's impossible for the state, given its current financial condition, to be able to meet its obligations under that agreement. And that's I'm not disparaging state employees at all. I'm just saying the agreement itself is completely unrealistic and unfulfillable by the state. And the sooner that's recognized, the more we can get down to the business of doing a deal that is realistic, one that the state can meet, and one that the state employees themselves can rely on in terms of their security and their retirement benefits. But right now, as long as they're not willing to come to the table again, it's an impossible situation. You said it, Paul. We can't lay off one single state employee for another 2.5 years, and yet we're the deficit that's forecast for the next biennium is $4.5 billion.
Senator,
yes,
I want to ask you just something very, very simple here. Okay, these are all elected officials, all of you. We've got the unions. Okay, they are certainly in control. And you mean to tell me that the elected officials, Democrats and Republicans, cannot sit down and say, look, we cannot afford it anymore, and you've got to do something, or we're going to do something? I mean, why can't this be talked about? We do the same thing every year. I talked with you last year about the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why can't we do it?
Brad, I think whoever is the next governor, the very first thing they should do is declare a state of financial emergency for the state of Connecticut. They should make it very clear to everyone in the state that we are in dire financial circumstances. And that will set the table for people being more realistic about the state obligations to the state employees. And I know, some of the state employees that I know very well. I've got a few that live actually right in my neighborhood. I've got a number of people I interact with all the time, their staff, and they help me out. And I've had the privilege of working with a lot of hardworking state employees. So I'm not disparaging them, but the deal that Governor Malloy worked out was totally insane. I mean, he's tied our hands on the benefits portion for 10 years, not 2 or 3 or 4 years. And again, he got into this no layoff provision. And you know, another thing that stands out in the George Mason study is we all talk about the pension liabilities and, you know, that kind of a thing. Well, there's something called other post-employment benefits. That's pretty much the health care stuff and all that. And that's almost $22 billion. And you know how much we have funded towards that? 1%. 1%
wow.
Of the $22 billion. We're in an incredibly devastating catastrophic condition, and it's got to be recognized. When I was leaving a Chamber of Commerce event yesterday, a Democrat came over and said, oh, we can't sound too pessimistic. And I said, no, but you got to be realistic,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You can't ignore reality. And I'm optimistic because I know this. We will find a way out of the mess, but it is a terrible mess. You have to recognize you have a problem to begin with before you can solve it. And if you're going to whistle past the graveyard and pretend that we don't have a whopping, unbelievable, calamitous financial problem, then you're not gonna solve anybody's problems. So the first thing that our gubernatorial candidates should do is pronounce that they recognize how catastrophic the condition is, and they know, all of them know, that they have to go back to the state employees and talk about resolving that situation. Because without doing that, we are in no man's land. We can't solve anything.
Senator, always great to have you with us, and we've set the tone. The folks that listen to the two of us know what it is, and our next step is we've got to do something about it, not just talk about it. Thank you
That's
so
right.
much for being with us today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
Thank
Len.
You, Brad and Paul.
Appreciate
Take
it.
Take care.
Thanks.
Unbelievable.